You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder in Miami, Florida. And that, as always, is Amin Alhassan in Boston. How you doing, Amin?
Oh, it's cold and it's overcast, so just perfect. Just how I like it, Charlotte.
Exactly what you expected.
Exactly. And, you know, exactly as I expected right here, I've been handed the note. We are contractually obligated to start this show. Talk about LeBron James, because just because the season's over doesn't mean we stop talking about him. He recently addressed comments about his future where he, quote, does not know what his next move is. And we got the little quote there. He also talks about his representation. Then you guys will know. Until then, love. Now, there have been contradictory reports. Some reports saying that he's going to opt out. Some say he's likely going to opt in. We don't know if he's staying or going. Obviously, opting in or out doesn't necessarily, well, opting out doesn't necessarily mean he's leaving. So, Charlotte.
Yes.
The question on everybody's mind, of course, is LeBron to the Knicks.
Oh, LeBron to the Knicks. Listen, Amin, we were chatting a little bit before the show, not to, tell everyone that we plan this at all.
No, we don't.
But, you know,
just turn on the mic.
Completely off the cuff. Knicks fans in our lives have had different reactions to this because my husband was like, I mean, awesome. Like, we could, you know, maybe get him for a deal if they get Bronny, too. And then he can help the team win a championship for the first time in, you know, 51 years. You did not have that experience.
Completely opposite. When it was lobbed into my group chat of crazy Knicks fan friends and family.
Yes.
Now, mind you, this conversation started before game five. Before game five, it was, to hell with LeBron. We don't need him. We're going to win a championship. We don't want to ruin the chemistry. Ruin the chemistry was one of the big things that was said there. They're like, well, I don't want to take away minutes from Bojan Bogdanovic, who's been really good for us off the bench. And it was insanity. Yikes. And then game five happened. And I guess this is as great a transition as any, Charlotte, to talk about the collective sigh of disbelief coming out of the world's most famous arena.
Wait, there was a Knicks game last night?
Yeah, how about that?
I haven't heard anything about this. Who'd they play, and did they win or did they lose?
Well, they lost.
That's mean. Yeah,
a familiar place for the Knicks. Expectations, like positivity, confidence, these are all new things. Get those back into the attic. Bring back the good comfort zone of having a game and blowing it. As Tyrese Maxey scores 7 points in the last 17 seconds of the game, Josh Hart misses a free throw, and we go to overtime, and then Maxey goes nuts there. One of the crazy stats I saw, Charlotte. Before game two, the Sixers had an 89% chance of winning that game, and they lost. Meanwhile, before game five, the Knicks had a 95% chance of winning that game. You see that right there? That at that point, I believe, is right when they were up six with less than a minute to go. 95%
these stats were during the game when it was like, oh, well, they've got this in the bag. And then the wildest endings have happened. This was crazy because there was maybe 20 seconds left and the Knicks were up six. And it was like, well, okay, it seems pretty good. You could feel the energy in the garden. I could barely hear the broadcasters because it was so loud in MSG. And then all of a sudden, as you said, Tyrese Maxey, 7 points in 17 seconds. Is that what it was? Immediately the whole building deflated and Knicks fans lost their minds. Some very famous Knicks fans, actually. John Stewart, Tracy Morgan flipped off Tyrese Maxey. Ben Stiller looked like he was literally baring his teeth.
Charlotte, this is my favorite thing about this particular run. I never noticed it before for some reason, but I'm noticing it now. Everyone always talks about the celebrities. Oh, the Knicks games have celebrities. But like, guess what? It's the NBA. A lot of cities have celebrity fans, right? LA is known for its, you know, large amount of celebrity fans that show up to the games. I think the difference is that the Knicks celebrity fans, they, in the moment when things like this happen, they cease to be celebrities, and then they're just like the dumb fans that I know. Like the looks on their faces, like, yep, those are my friends. Those aren't cool people who have achieved the highest levels of culture and influence and stuff. These are just dumb Knicks fans who have had their hearts broken, and it looks so familiar. I remember, like, when I was a kid, they used to talk about the subway was a great equalizer of New York City, because you had these millionaire hedge fund people riding the same train that the guy going, you know, to Joe Sixpack going to his 9-to-5 with his hard hat and lunch pail, right? And now that great equalizer, that space, is Knick losses. Just this is where you see, you know, my cousin Proof with the same sort of heartbroken look on his face as what Ben Stiller has on his. And I just can't get enough of it.
It's incredible, because this is one thing rich people can't buy. Rich people cannot buy sports fandom happiness. They can try by, if they're rich enough to own a team and then put what they think will, you know, be the things you need to implement those wins. Still not guaranteed. But if you have nothing to do with the team and you just go to these games and you're used to buying literally any experience you want, you cannot buy wins. This is like Knicks fandom is sort of like the Titanic, I mean, because you could be first class or you could be steerage. You could be courtside or in the nosebleeds. And either way, you are ending up in freezing cold water and you are all just looking for a lifeboat. And we thought, Jalen Brunson seemed like he was that lifeboat. I think he still can be that lifeboat. Yeah. They're 3-2. The series is not over. I think everyone is talking about this today as though this is the end and the Knicks blew it. They blew game five.
Game 5.
There is a game 6. There is a game 7.
Well, there may be a game 7. Game 7 is still unnecessary.
Sorry. Yeah. There is a game 6 for sure. And the Knicks could still close out there. And I think that this will all feel a lot different to fans if they do that.
I do want to talk about something really quick from the Sixers standpoint. Yeah. I know, like, everyone's like, okay, enough about the Knicks. They lost. The Sixers won. And Tyrese Maxey, in particular, obviously was incredible. He scored those 7 points in 17 seconds. He had 46 on the game. He was incredible. He saved Joel Embiid's basically season last night. But one of the interesting things he said in the postgame press conference was, I missed three free throws. Well, we have the sound, actually. Let's just play it.
I just missed those three free throws, man. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Buddy Hield, because I was on the bench and I was really upset. I was really upset with myself. I missed three free throws, turned the ball over, and Buddy Hield just kind of grabbed me and said, listen, dude, like, you know what you can do. Go out there, make up for it. And I really do appreciate Buddy for that.
Charlotte, these are the stories that, you know, if he doesn't say that, people look at Buddy Hield and say, ah, this guy didn't do much. They got him. Never been to the playoffs. He didn't even help the team. But in a weird way, Buddy talking Tyrese Maxey, a young player, off of that ledge in that moment was as responsible for saving their season as Tyrese Maxey actually doing those things.
Totally.
I thought that was a really cool moment and a really cool shout out. And this is the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. It's like, it's never in hand until they're dead and in the ground. And the Knicks thought, oh, that's it. And it's easy, I would say, to go to the playoffs when things are going your way. Or when you win or you lose, kind of like, okay, we lost that one. But like, those are the moments of fortitude, the moments when you're faced with adversity and you find something inside you that you didn't know you had, or vice versa, when you thought that you had vanquished your foe and you start walking away, like in the horror movie, they get back up and go at you one more time.
Totally. And I think I love that Maxey said this. I think that Maxey is emblematic of what the Knicks would like to think of themselves as and what they usually are, which is that they don't give up. They're fighting for every ball, every rebound, off the glass. Like, a ball's almost out, someone's diving for it. They are going headfirst into the cameras. Maxey did that all last night. And it was really fun to watch. I think we talked about this early in the season, Amin, how he plays with such joy. He has not lost that joy. And what's so fascinating is that has translated to the reaction from Knicks fans in New York. There's no, like, F Maxey.
Yeah,
no. It's all on Embiid. Like, Maxey is a guy who would seem like he would fit on this Knicks team really well.
Yeah, there's definitely respect. And the irony of you saying that, Charlotte, is the Knicks could have had him. The Knicks had a draft pick, and they took his Kentucky teammate, Emmanuel Quickley. And, you know, the interesting thing about all that is that the Knicks probably had the best inside lane on Kentucky that any organization had, because Worldwide West, William Wesley, who was in the front office, used to represent Coach Cal as his agent, and also has a son who played for Kentucky. So he knew, they had all the insight, and they took the wrong Kentucky guard. It reminds me of Walk Hard when every time Dewey Cox's dad says, the wrong son died. It's like the wrong Kentucky guard got drafted. But I think it all worked out for the best, because I don't know if Tyrese Maxey would be the Tyrese Maxey he is had he been drafted by the Knicks at that time.
Totally. I think it's also fascinating, the Maxey stuff, in light of the response to Maxey, in light of the way that Embiid is handling all of this. I have been so confused, Amin, by the past week. You know, first they don't disclose the Bell's palsy, which we talked about. It just leaves more questions and answers when you don't address something. He said, we're definitely going to win the series. Then he said he was disappointed in Philly fans. Yep. And then he said this. Can we roll this from last night after the win?
Just fuck. I love it. I got to be the punching bag. And, you know, you hear a lot of, you know, FMD. You know, that's okay. I love it.
Okay. So here's a guy saying, if I have to hear FMD, that's okay. He goes on to say, New York is my favorite city. I've had a place here for 5 years. I love this city. And my question is, who is Embiid doing this for? What is happening? I know Leon Rose, the president of operations for the Knicks, was his agent. I know that. Mm-hmm. So is there some backpedaling going on here? Like, is Embiid seeing that maybe the writing's on the wall and like Philly isn't where he's going to get this done? Is he trying, like, why is he being so strange and cagey and like catering to Knicks fans while also they hate him, while also saying he's disappointed in Phil? I'm wildly confused as to what's going on.
Yeah, I think sometimes the simplest answer is the correct answer. He's just talking and he's not really thinking the ramification of his words.
Yeah,
I think if you want to put on your conspiracy hat, put on some tinfoil, absolutely angling. But also, New York has traditionally always been the organization that you flirt with in order to get more money, in order to get more power, more entrenched in where you are already. And the irony is, even Coach Cal did that a couple of years ago in Kentucky. It got a new deal out of it, out of like, oh, well, you know, maybe a little bit more money, or maybe I'll go coach the Knicks. So I think if you want to be that kind of conspiratorial, perhaps, but I just think he's just a guy who's talking. I mean, everything he said so far in this series doesn't like really imply that he's given a lot of thought to, oh, how is this going to be received?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. But either way, I this next game to me seems like it's going to be a bellwether of like, okay, Knicks, like you've said, you're this tough, scrappy team. Your back's not quite up against the wall. It's game six. It's not game seven. But the way they respond to this is going to say a lot about who this team is and how far they can go after this in the playoffs.
You don't go into game seven. Now you've given up the entire emotional edge, right? Now, Philly is a team that is playing with his back to the wall.
Right.
The interesting thing is, what's the crowd going to look like? Because the last time we were in Philly, you had a building that was chanting MVP for Jalen Brunson. We had the video of the people in the concourse chanting Knicks in five very loudly. If you're Philly as a city, not the Sixers, but Philly fans, how do you respond? You have to hold it down super necessary ways, right? You have to make it super crazy. And by the way, Charlotte, 9 p.m. start on that game. So we're going to get all good and sauced up before the game starts. On a Thursday? On a school night.
I got to stay up. I stay up late anyway because I procrastinate. But now it's like, oh, I really have to stay. Okay,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. Let's go to a series that is bringing me absolutely zero joy as a Celtics fan. It's Celtics Heat. You're in Boston right now. I mean, you're going to the game.
Uh-huh.
This has been not very fun. It's either a blowout or Boston has lost a game they shouldn't have lost. Either way, everybody, the vibes are bad. It feels sad to me. I don't know. I'm not having fun. Why am I not having fun?
Oh, I wonder why. It could be an injury report. Is it maybe your third most important player is going to be out several games with a strained soleus, which is the same injury that has kept Giannis Antetokounmpo out of at least five games of his playoff series. Yeah, I mean, like, this is big. And it's big beyond this series. The Celtics are supposed to win this, right? They're the one seed, and the Heat don't have their best player in Jimmy Butler. But what does that mean for the next round and the round after that? Like, Porzingis, we talked about it at the beginning of the year, Charlotte. It's like, can you count on this dude to stay healthy? And he kind of did for the majority of the year. And then we get to the playoffs, and now it looks like he's got something serious enough to keep him out several games. That would scare me, too, if I were a Celtic fan. And I think the other part of this also is, if you're Miami, does that give you a glimmer of hope? Because now Porzingis is out. That means Horford starts. That means Luke Kornet has to play, right? And now we're talking about the depth. All year long, or all playoffs long, I've been hearing people talk about the Celtics are the deepest team. I'm like, no, they're not. They have an amazing starting five. And Al Horford is a dependable, reliable backup. And then it falls off a cliff. Like, Peyton Pritchard and Luke Kornet, these are not guys I think that you can win a championship playing heavy minutes. Maybe if you cut it off right there, right after Hauser, right? Like Hauser and then Peyton Pritchard is like the little gap filler. But once you start, everyone takes that step over to the left, it gets hairy.
It's just crazy because this is what I've been waiting for. And I hate saying it that way. We don't want this. Like it felt though that this was something that would happen in the regular season. Porzingis would get hurt. I think he got a little dinged up when we went to a Heat Celtics game in Miami, and I was like, it's happening, but it wasn't happening. It happened. And I think that this completely changes things. Also, from an attitude standpoint, because Porzingis has looked really happy to be in Boston all year. He got out of the Wizards. He's on a team that should win a championship. Like, he was bringing on the bench, you would see him smiling. He was bringing so much. And I think that was a rallying point for the rest of the team. On the other hand, though, I mean, we've got a Miami Heat team that does not have Jimmy Butler, does not have Jaime Jaquez Jr., does not have Terry Rozier. They're not that scary. And that also scares me as a Celtics fan, because when you think someone's not scary, that's often when they have a chance to be scariest in the playoffs.
I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but Pacers Bucks, right? Pacers Bucks, the Bucks are missing their top two scorers, which no team in playoff history, I believe, has ever won a game missing its top two scorers. And what happens? The Bucks blow them out because a cornered tiger is perhaps the most dangerous animal there is, right? It's like when you got them, well, like you think like, okay, got you all corralled up. No fear here, right? This should be pretty easy. That's when they come out swinging the hardest. And so Miami, if there was any a franchise that has the next man up mentality, it's the Miami Heat. So if you're Boston, you want this to be a knockout blow tonight, because if you got to go back to Miami for game six on Friday, who knows what could happen then?
Coming up, bet the show. You betcha.
You betcha.
All right, welcome back to Oddball. I mean, you know what time it is. It's time to bet the show. There it is. Bet the show is sponsored by DraftKings, and stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Hell yeah.
We're going to start today, with a bet that is Milwaukee against the Pacers. Milwaukee is +8.5. The Pacers are -110.
Wow.
Who are you putting? Who would you bet on? What's the landscape of this game?
So the game is tomorrow night, but you know, this is coming off the heels of, as we talked about earlier, we mentioned earlier, huge Bucks win to keep their season alive. No Dame, no Giannis, no problem. That's how they used to do like sports
no
stories
fear
in the 90s. Yeah. Like, and you know, Patrick Beverley had like 12 points in a quarter. He had a double-double. I think his first in 100 million years of playoff play. And it's just like, it's embarrassing for if you're the Pacers, but this is the folly of youth, right? Like, this is the idea of like, oh, cornered tiger. Wounded. Of course, this is going to be the easiest thing ever. And instead, it becomes a huge loss for them. Doc Rivers talked about in the post-game presser about the adjustments. And I know the cool thing is, like, oh, Doc's a terrible coach. I was like, dude, he's still a coach, man. He's still going to make adjustments out there. And the adjustment he talked about is said, we're going to switch everything. Even if we get Brook Lopez on Tyrese Haliburton, it doesn't matter. We're not giving up threes off of help like we were earlier in the series. And they wanted to limit the number of threes, not only obviously that Indiana made, but Indiana took, to the extent that they were going to give up twos. And he spoke of a specific play where Pascal Siakam caught it in the paint, and they kind of swarmed him, and he kicked it out for three, called timeout. I said, guys, if he's scoring that, he's a great player, but we'll live with him scoring twos. What we will not live with is them shooting threes. So, having said that, 8.5, if Dame and Giannis are back,
yeah,
obviously that's great money to buy in right now.
Yep. Eight,
but are they going to be back? Are either of them going to be back? We don't know. Doc kind of hinted at it.
He was like, yeah, they might be. Yeah. I don't know. I've got a few tricks up my sleeve. And it's like, are those? He didn't say that. So I'm not going to continue on that hypothetical. Let's move on to this next bet, which is that Clippers at home versus the Mavs. The Clippers are plus three.
Yeah.
So the Mavs are favored. Kawhi is not playing tonight. And the series is even at 2-2. With all of the hullabaloo around the Knicks and being worried about Porzingis, I sort of forgot about these guys. What's going on here?
This is perhaps the second best series that's going on.
I know, it's great. It just feels like it's been a while. These games get staggered funny.
Yeah. So, you know, they play tonight in L.A. Now, Charlotte, you were the one that had Mavs in five. So we're already kind of in overtime here.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Charlotte. The winner of game five wins the series, yes or no?
God, I feel like I'm doing a real hard turn here, and I think it goes to seven of me.
Oh wow!
Game to game, I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen here. It feels very even. It feels like the play between both teams is uneven at different times, which you know benefits the other one. So I think it's sort of a toss. But what would you say?
Well, first of all, I'd like to remind you, I had Mavs in seven.
Yeah,
that was my original. So
that's partly why I didn't want to say it, but
I think not having Kawhi, knowing Kawhi's not going to play, seems to have helped the Clippers. That clarity, as opposed to when he did play, it was kind of like, is he good? Is he not? So I do think the Mavs lose tonight, which means Clippers plus three I would take that action, but also understanding that I think the Mavs then win the next two. That's just my humble opinion. But again, this has been a great series. Even the one blowout wasn't a blowout by the end of it, you know, because the Mavs made a huge comeback. So I'm just excited for more good basketball between these two teams. All right, Sean, this next bet, we already have a bet for the next series, the second round, because we know Nuggets and Wolves are going to happen. The schedule has been released. This is my favorite part. Game one, Saturday. Cool. Game two, Monday. Awesome. Game three, Friday.
What?
We have 5 days off between game two and game three.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But as I said, DraftKings Sportsbook has the lines out, and you can bet on how long the series is going to take. You don't even have to tell us who wins, how long the series is going to take. So four games plus 450, five games plus 250, six games plus 630, seven games plus 220. Charlotte, yes. Nuggets and Wolves, how long do you think the series is going to go?
I would say seven games. I think
seven?
That this is going to be, yeah, I think this is going to be a very intense, well, maybe six. I don't know. I think that the Timberwolves are going to win.
What?
I knew this is the one that I told you weren't going to like. I think that there is a chance here, a pretty good chance that the Timberwolves, they beat when everyone was healthy in the regular season. They walloped the Nuggets. I know you're going to say playoff experience, Jokic. Yes. Anthony Edwards, what he has done, Kat, the way he's been playing, I feel like this is a team that of all the young teams, this is a team up against the Nuggets that could really, what does it say? They say galvanize?
Yeah. Wait, let's ask Tyler Hero.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, let's say seven. And when I'm wrong, as I was about Mavs and five, we can clip this as well.
Yeah. The T-Wolves are riding on a lot of confidence, and Anthony Edwards has been spectacular, and they do believe they're a team of destiny. It's funny, we were talking earlier about Porzingis going from Washington to Boston. I saw Monte Morris after one of the games in Phoenix, and I said, not bad. Like, he went from Detroit to Minnesota.
It's pretty good.
It's like night and day for him. But I'm going to go Nuggets in six. I just think the Nuggets are the best, and six games gives me the best odds back, and it's kind of respectful to the Minnesota Timberwolves, so we'll go with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, when you're right again and I'm wrong and then Mavs in seven, you know, we'll just, I'll take one for the team.